Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. If you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it. If you always want to make sure you're always getting your Going In Raw content, if you're on a podcast app, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. It always really helps the show, or just share us with a friend, right? With a friendo.
Yes, please share.
If you want to help contribute to Going In Raw financially and get something back in return, it's called commerce.
Yeah.
Capitalism at its best. You can do so by signing up at the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We had a fantastic episode of non-news today.
I'm actually, before we started, we were talking to our patrons here in our pre-show.
We had to do like a 15-minute pre-show.
Yeah, yeah. We were debating kind of the existential nature of pizza. What is pizza? What is not pizza?
You've said it yourself before when discussing how pizza doesn't really change from place to place necessarily. You've said things like, the pizza is just simple ingredients. Bread, sauce, cheese, and then you put a bunch
and
of
toppings,
crap on it.
Yes.
Right, and toppings, right?
That doesn't mean it doesn't change from
the
place
only
to place.
Thing that's
I said
fluid.
It's a pretty, you know, there's fundamental ingredients.
Let me ask you something.
Combined to create a flavor experience. But that's all food. It's like soup. Soup is just whatever
hamburger,
they have hand-tossed in broth.
A hamburger without meat, it's not a hamburger. You can call it whatever you want, but it's
not
a
hamburger. That's why there's the prefix. You get the hamburger, which is made of beef, oddly.
Right.
But then if you want, say, a lamb burger, pork burger, veggie burger,
right,
it's a burger. It's not a hamburger.
Right,
though.
Exactly.
Burger is a combination of bun and substance in between.
Now,
it's
look,
the
package, there's, I'm sure there are,
the
I'm
itself.
Sure there are qualifiers that you can use for various, like, you know, faux pizzas, like pizza without cheese, for example.
Yeah.
But I think my trump card, if you will, is when somebody orders pizza, you're at a party, right?
And I don't disagree with that.
Hold on, just wait, because the
okay,
you know, the thousands of people watching this,
okay,
or listening to this don't understand my...
I'm kind of playing devil's advocate this whole thing here for
say,
people who don't eat
hey,
cheese.
Hey, I'm ordering a pizza, everybody. What do you want on it? Nobody says cheese, because that's...
Someone might say no cheese.
Well, that person is an asshole.
No, they
who
probably
can get their own little personal pizza, which isn't a pizza. It's just bread and sauce and nothing and whatever crap they want on top of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
There's a vital component of cheese is missing.
Or light cheese. What about light cheese? Just a little sprinkling.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
then there's still cheese on it. It's your definition of what pizza has to be.
Then you're getting into like, then it's just a shit pizza, isn't it? It's
no,
like, where's all the cheese? There's just a little bit of cheese. This is a ill put together pizza.
For me, pizza is all about balance. Balance the ingredients. I don't want to like, and this goes beyond the fact that I'm kind of moderately lactose intolerant.
Yeah,
I have too much cheese
that's
that bothers
fine.
My tummy. But like, if there's too much cheese on there, it's off-putting to me.
I'm sympathetic.
It overwhelms everything else.
Look, I'm sympathetic to people who eat dairy products and then their belly gets a little upset. I'm sympathetic to that. I'm just saying, don't assume that the rest of the world has to bend for you.
Oh, I'm not assuming that.
Our definitions of pizza.
I'm not. My definition it welcomes all types of pizza.
You know,
yours
I was really
has
hoping,
the more rigid definition.
I was really hoping that this conversation would be relegated just to the pre-show.
No, this is the kind of stuff people get in the pre-show. This is an advertisement for a pre-show, man.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyway.
Yeah, I have a more open, broad definition of pizza. Yours is more restrictive.
Your open, broad definition is actually just wrong. This is not the correct definition.
Well, it's a more all-encompassing
hey,
definition.
What do you guys want on your pizza? Make sure there's cheese on there, said nobody ever.
As I said, cheese and sauce are generally an assumption. Yes.
Yes! It's the definition of pizza!
Typically. That's what the definition, that's what the dictionary said. Typically.
Merriam-Webster doesn't know what they're talking about. Too many qualifiers. It's 2018, okay? Everybody needs qualifiers. Some things are just there.
If you're talking about a steak, yes. It's like literally just made of meat.
That's true.
Pizza, when there's so many variables in play on the pizza itself.
There's three constants with pizza.
There's not.
Dough, sauce, cheese.
But then you get down to red sauce versus white sauce. There's a
variety
of sauce.
But then there's qualifiers with that. And sauce is a thing. It's still a pizza.
Some sauce
don't and
like
cheese.
Sauce on their pizza. Oh, but they like everything else.
Dude, our watch time is going to be horrible right now.
No, people is something. Pizza is something that everybody enjoys.
All right. Continue this conversation in the post show.
All right.
We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. I'm sure you have a shirt on underneath that hoodie where you can show off what kind of shirts we got over there. Here's a whole banner full of them. Look at that.
Fun wrestling.
I really got to get on doing some more of those.
Same.
Anyways. I don't know. I guess we can talk about SmackDown. But
do we have to? That's what I was trying
now
to.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of want to talk about pizza more.
Kind of divert the pizza talk because SmackDown, there wasn't much to talk about. There was two things that stood out to me. One, Bob Roode wore a suit.
Yeah, Bob Roode looked great
in the backstage thing between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn was really well done, really well put together, and really foreshadowing a Sami Zayn full-on heel turn.
I really like that. And yeah, I actually really like the United States title scene because it's so weird. Jinder is like oddly obsessed with A,
it's
top 10 list.
Gosh darn mess.
And B, Randy Orton. But I kind of like it. I like that Randy Orton's like, man, look at Bob Roode.
You know what they should do? They should give Jinder Mahal a weekly top 10 list, like a listicle article on WWE.com. That's what they should do.
That would be great, yeah.
That's what they should do.
No, I'd like that a lot.
He does seem to be obsessed with top 10s.
What would be? And he gets so enraged when he's not on them.
I know.
I like that he came up. I mean, he came up with his own Bob Roode top 10 list.
I know.
And Bob Roode kind of looked a little weak when he was when Jinder was grilling him. About it was like I was watching this morning. There was a dude. It was like a segment from some British talk show, politics talk show, where I guess the Tim Russert of their country was grilling this dude who's like a pro Brexit guy because he was all like anti what's his name Jeremy Corbyn or whatever, and like he was just grilling him. And I was like, man, I wish the friggin' people here. I wish who's the dude? Oh, that nerd Chuck Todd,
yeah,
would do that to our guys over here on Meet the Press like Tim Russert used to do. He used to grill people. But anyways, yeah, Jinder was grilling Bob Roode. So you're saying you're afraid of Randall Orton? And Bob Roode's like, I didn't know.
No, I didn't say that.
I never said that.
He just did this. I never said that.
Anyways, let's start from the beginning. Yeah, but it was a lot of... A couple people actually said this did make for, like, it felt like a go-home to Fastlane. But Fastlane's like...
A month away. Yeah.
It's a ways out. What are they going to be doing for the next couple of weeks?
Well, it's actually less than a month away. It's the second weekend of March, so the 11th.
Yeah, so February is coming to an end, like, soon, too.
Yeah, in a week.
Office Space. Yeah, less than a... When is our...
In a week. 28th, the last day of February.
The March 1st, how many days away is that?
That'd be a week
A week tomorrow. From tomorrow, we should be getting that internet at least drilled into the ground or something.
Something like that.
Whatever they do.
The capacity to have internet should be established a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
One would hope.
I should contact those people.
Anyways... You know what? Whenever a show starts with an in-ring interview, I don't really feel like that's the right foot to start a show on. There's nothing exciting about an in-ring interview to
start
a show.
That's why I liked last week's, because it started with it was like a GTA server.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, hop in, and it's just chaos all of a sudden.
Even Raw this week. Yeah, we had the two-hour-long gauntlet match.
Oh, it was
great.
They
had to have that 5-minute Roman interview to precede it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Just get to the match.
Yeah. Well, maybe they just figure, hey, some people might be still getting their nachos or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got phones. They can see what time it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. How much do you want to see that Tupac Biggie mystery show? Oh, that's going to be good. Are they going to be solving mysteries on there? Was that ever actually solved?
No.
No,
as far
it wasn't.
As I know.
Dang. Spoiler alert. This has got a hell of a cast, though.
I know. It's got a great cast.
Yeah, dude.
I'm really excited about it.
Anyways, yeah, I kicked off with an AJ Styles interview. I like that he was very in much detail explaining how a fatal five-way works. He says, I could be laying out Kevin Owens over here on a table, and meanwhile, right here in the center. Renee, come over here. Renee, right here. In the center of the ring right here, Sami Zayn could be winning the WWE Championship.
He's always booking Dolph to win. Dolph could be pinning Sami Zayn right here in the middle of this ring. So look at these ring steps. I'd love to shove Kevin Owens' face into him.
But meanwhile, Renee over here. Right
Dolph
here.
Ziggler could be pinning Sami Zayn right here in the middle of this ring. So AJ Styles is apparently a fan of Dolph and would fantasy book him to win everything.
Apparently, if he was, maybe he can fantasy book our version of SmackDown
there you
on
go.
The show. Man, Roman Reigns in his underwear really blew up the ratings on that show.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Anyways, out comes,
Hey.
You know, I always just get his theme music confused with Bludgeon Brothers. Like when it goes, oh, like why does Baron Corbin have Tibetan monks at the beginning of his theme song?
That I don't know.
And the funny thing is, his new theme song has been around forever now, and I still don't know what it is.
Same.
You know?
I still prefer his old one.
Because there's always talking and crowd noise during the main bit. It takes the intro is forever.
Yeah.
And then when he goes like this, they got the cheesy lyrics guy.
Yeah,
kicking
no, they
got
to go back to the old one. With the motorcycle
really
revving in the beginning.
And then the camera goes up into him.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, where's the motorcycle aspect of his character? That's disappeared.
Well, he needs to get Eric Bischoff as his agent and everything be motorcycle based.
Eric Bischoff loves motorcycles.
Eric Bischoff loves motorcycles.
Anyways, Baron Corbin comes down and says, hey,
hey,
you're not me. I'm going to be.
Well,
WWE.
AJ was saying that one-on-one, he could beat anybody
champion.
In this fatal five-way match.
Can't beat me.
And Baron came out and said, hold on, AJ.
Wait, hey.
Last time we had matches, I beat you.
I won you for U.S.
title.
Champion, I am.
U.S. title.
Then Kevin Owens comes down and rightfully says, everybody's tired of listening to your voice, Baron Corbin, so I'm going to talk now. I forget what he says because then Shane McMahon came down and I really had no desire to see him.
Oh, I know. Shane said, we are going to get AJ versus Baron in the main event. But right now, Kevin Owens versus this guy.
Yeah.
It was Dolph.
His entrance is so confusing.
It really is.
It's so confusing.
They need to ditch the record scratch.
Whose idea was that? Because it kicks off with a record scratch, nothingness, like an empty void.
He comes
Dolph
out.
Dolph saunters out. And then it kicks on.
It made sense the first time he did it a little bit.
Yeah.
It seemed like a refresh button because he came out, had a look on his face like, okay, I'm back. This is a new Dolph.
Right.
And then it kicked off, I'm here to show the world.
Yeah.
But now when he came out last night, he just walked out.
Is he going through a whole phase of I'm back?
Kind of.
Is that what's happening?
He got a haircut. His hair was shorter.
Or was it just permed?
He has curly hair. His hair.
Yeah, but for a while he had it like straightened in like a lion's mane. It was straightened.
I think it was just wet.
Oh.
It was wet when he came out,
okay.
But then it dried through the match, and it got really poofy because it's really curly.
He does. I wonder what he looked like as like a little kid, because my sister has super curly hair,
yeah.
And she was always like aggro because her hair just looked all like poofy,
mm-hmm.
And my mom didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. So
those were two matches up for the night.
And yeah.
Owens versus Dolph happened right away.
Yeah, no, this is a fun match. They're obviously, you know, Dolph's got a new contract, so he's still in the honeymoon phase of being booked kind of strongish.
Yeah, yeah.
It
took a distraction for him to lose this match.
Right, exactly. So I guess he's supposed to be face?
Seems like it.
Maybe? I figure
like,
a face would
like,
have like a...
He's a fairly aloof face.
I figure a face would have like full entrance music.
Well, he does, if you discount the like four beats of nothing. But you think also when his music
eventually
hits,
he does.
When his music hits, there'd be some emotion or intensity or passion about what he's about to do,
yeah.
Going down the ring, wrestling, hopefully winning.
Yeah.
But his entrance is completely devoid of any of those things. He just walks with kind of a I'm above all this face.
He well
isn't that kind of his general disposition? Is I'm above all this?
Well, his face,
still?
Yeah, 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 and his face is also kind of. When his music finally kicks in, it kind of looks like he is coming to the realization that somebody just figured out where the button was for his actual music. He's like, oh, there it is. Okay. They just got it. Okay, good.
Yeah, no. Like, either, here, how about this? Record scratch straight to his music, if you're going to do that. If he's interrupting somebody. But still, ditch the record scratch.
So just his music.
But I'm saying if they have to have the record scratch, do it that way. Don't
yeah,
put
yeah,
those,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those beats of nothing in between.
No, I'm cool with that.
I understood it the first time. It made sense. They're doing the inverse of what he was doing.
Aesthetically speaking,
it makes sense.
Aesthetically speaking, I'm actually fine with the record scratch because to me it's always funny.
But it has to be interrupting something. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Can he just come out to Yakety Sax? So yeah, then we had Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler. It was actually a pretty good match.
It was
fun.
Decent enough.
I mean, they gave Dolph all of his signature moves, and all of his signature moves are really fun. Like the zigzag's really fun. The famouser are still like one of my favorite moves.
Yeah, you love
it. Is not
the famouser.
It is not a leg drop curb stomp. That is not. That is not. But somebody, did I mention this before?
Kelly did something like
Kelly that. Kelly did something like that, and in the hands of like an actual wrestler, it looks like it could have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she wasn't really that. Let's see here. So yeah, so towards the end of this match, so Dolph had reversed a pop-up powerbomb into a zigzag. Owens got the kick out. Sami Zayn comes bolting down to ringside, and just before he's like gonna slide in,
he goes on the brakes. Yeah.
Yeah, he stops. They should have done that sound effect. The brake
had some like smoke kicking up from his feet.
And when he's running, do like the Flintstones running sound.
Yeah.
I can't do it
yeah.
with my mouth.
And he has to put his heels down. To break himself, right?
And then smoke comes up.
Yeah, exactly. In some like debris from the ring mat.
Exactly.
Yeah, he comes down, distracts Dolph. Dolph's saying, get in the ring. Come on.
And Owens just doles out a super kick to the back of Dolph's head. That was awesome.
Kind of like the side of his head to his ear.
Yeah, right, exactly. It was fantastic.
picked up the win. Owens
he dropped
wins.
Like a sack of potatoes. I always liked that one. Man, that was great.
Next, we had Jinder come out.
Oh, man, he looked like $1 million in that black suit, man.
He said he has a secret that he's going to divulge about Bob Roode. And it turned out just to be Bob Roode's personal SmackDown top 10.
I was really hoping it was like Bob Roode is a never nude or Bob Roode has a third nipple on his butt cheek.
Something like that.
Something cool, man.
Yeah.
But he just, you know, like you said, Bob Roode has his own SmackDown top 10 list.
And the shocking, in Ginger's mind, part about the whole thing is that Randall Orton was not on this.
Wasn't even on the list. And Bob Roode is number one.
Yeah.
Which, does he not understand that he has the secondary title and
but
not
thought,
the best title?
I thought Daniel Bryan, when explaining the SmackDown top 10, said superstars couldn't vote for themselves.
Well, Jinder mentioned that. All he right. said, number one, he violated the biggest rule, which is superstars cannot vote for themselves.
All right.
He voted himself number one. This wasn't, I mean, the idea, I guess, is that Bob Roode's top 10 list wasn't something that was voted on by anybody but Bob Roode.
Yeah.
Okay. So he just placed himself at number one.
Yeah, but Bob Roode denied that this was his top 10.
Well, yeah, because then Bob Roode comes out in a suit
looking
great, and it just gets me kind of weepy for the NXT days.
I know.
He comes out, and Jinder Mahal starts basically obsessing over the fact that Randy Orton isn't on Bob Roode's list.
And Bob Roode says, this isn't my top 10 list.
There are many things here that we have problems with, Jinder. Number one, this isn't my list. Number two... I forget what he said, number two. But Jinder was like, so you admit that you were afraid of Randall Orton.
And then Bob Roode says, I never said that.
Okay, then you think you can beat Randall Orton.
I never said that.
Then you think that you are the best United States champion.
At this point, Randall Orton comes out.
Half of these things, Bobby Roode should have been like, yeah, I do. I'm not afraid of Randy Orton. Like, you're putting words in my mouth, but I'm not afraid of him. I think I'm the best.
I do think I am the best US champion. No,
what's wrong with saying all those things?
Nothing. That's confidence.
I mean, I know he's like, because the bottom line is Randall Orton has been dropping RKOs on him out of nowhere, and it's really rude,
if you will.
Anyways, then Randy Orton comes out. Unfortunately, not in a suit. Randy Orton looks great in a suit. I know this because he was in Evolution, and they always wore suits.
Yeah.
He came out in his undies.
Yeah.
I hate when he does that.
And a sweatshirt.
If you're coming out... And two other guys wearing, like, you know, business suits.
Yeah.
Come out with your own business suit.
Agreed. Not your undies.
He just kind of does what he wants.
He comes out. He gets face-to-face with Roode. They start kind of jawing at each other. Orton turns, attacks Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
Roode clotheslines Jinder out of the ring. Orton tries to RKO Roode. Roode reverses it to glorious DDT. Bobby celebrates, thinking he has the upper hand.
Coloss!
Yeah, he had a Coloss.
Yeah, that was cool. I love the Coloss.
All right, so this backstage segment... irritated me.
I know, but it was relatively short, and I don't know. I don't know if they're going to keep on doing this till September. And...
Gosh, I can tell Daniel Bryan just wants to be any other place.
I know.
He's so checked
out. And why was this segment not lit?
I know.
There
so
was
dark.
Like no lighting to it. They were like, you could barely see them.
Both of them think this is garbage.
I know.
And it shows on their face and their performances. So they're backstage debating who should challenge the U.S. title.
Let
Daniel
me ask
Bryan
you something.
Said it should be Jinder Mahal since he's the one stirring the pot.
Yeah.
Whereas Shane says, no, it should be Randall Orton mm-hmm. taking on Bob Roode because he's been the one RKOing people out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The perfect, like the scenario that makes the most sense is the triple threat match.
Yeah, I don't know.
That way everybody gets what they want.
And that's what we're going to get.
Probably. And then Shane says, well, you know, I question your reasoning for a lot of things, including what's going on in the world title scene. That's why I added more people and stacked the deck more against AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And then Shane says, Orton and Roode's what it should be, and so that's my decision. That's what it's going to be. And then Daniel Bryan says, whatever you say, boss.
Yeah, it's supremely awkward. I'm not sure. Let me ask you, Power Rank, what are Road Dogg's movie or TV influence or literature influences for this particular scenario? Because I'm pretty... Well, Road Dogg is the head writer, I think, at SmackDown, head of creative.
That's what we've heard.
I can't believe this is Michael Hayes. Everything I've heard about Michael Hayes, like, his stuff is great. Like, House of Horrors is fantastic.
Well,
he wouldn't be doing this crap. Hey, it was weird. It wasn't like this. It wasn't like freaking HR. Here's one of my main... I have many problems with this.
Oh, do you think Road Dogg's influences are like industrial films?
Yes!
Stilted dialogue, stilted performances.
Industrial films, exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to think of an example.
How to change the toner right, cartridge in your printer.
Not so fast, Mr. Smith. Doing it that way is dangerous.
No, I'm not talking old timey ones.
Oh, I
not
like the old timey ones.
I know, I like those too. I'm talking like the one shot in VHS-C.
Okay, yeah. It's like
an introduction to data entry.
No, these come off more like sexual harassment videos, but without the sexual part of it. Nobody's coming up to anybody else and like rubbing shoulders saying, "Hey, Jill, what did you do last night?" No, it's all just like passive aggressive stuff.
Mm.
It's so bad, though. It's so annoying.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, man.
It's not good at all.
What do you say, boss? Like, I don't know what the point... What is the point of this?
I mean, I'm assuming they're building to something to Mania, but if Daniel Bryan is not going to wrestle... And at this point, I don't feel like if Daniel Bryan was cleared, he'd even be excited to take on Shane McMahon.
Nobody should be excited to take on Shane McMahon, dude. Come on.
But, I mean, Daniel Bryan just seems so eager to get back in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
If they said, all right, we're going to clear you to wrestle Shane McMahon at WrestleMania, I still feel like he'd be like, I don't know.
It's ever since Survivor Series, it's felt like everybody understands they're on the B show.
Yeah.
And it feels like the only person who is really trying to, like, elevate the show as AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gives it his all every single time out.
Yep.
He had what could have been a snoozer match against Baron Corbin last night.
It was fun.
AJ was great.
Yeah.
And Baron was good too.
Yeah, he was.
But you could tell AJ every time out, he's inspired.
Yeah.
And I can't say that about everybody else. Like Sammy and Kevin are doing some decent work right now.
But there have been weeks where it felt like they were just.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways,
New Day is doing some good stuff now too.
Yeah, they're doing decent stuff. Like Gable and Benjamin are doing some decent stuff. Ruby Riott's good. I like her. Even though they're giving her crap, I like her a lot. She's good. Her
little
promo
was
great last night.
Let's talk about the 6-woman tag match: Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Naomi.
This was actually a lot of fun for a match that they've been hyping up for a while,
and a match I feel like we've seen a couple times before, some variation on it.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of variations on this, but this did actually feel like. Everybody, you know, when you work with somebody long enough, like we've kind of noticed, this is, I mean, it's kind of obvious. You get chemistry with them.
Yeah.
And I feel like because we've seen so many permutations of this match, like all six of these people have chemistry.
Yeah.
And so I actually like this. I thought it was a fun match.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I thought a bunch of people looked good. I thought Sarah Logan looked good. Liv Tyler's got a little bit of work to do, but I think even she looked better than she usually does. And then Ruby Riott looked great. She got the pin on Becky after her finish, which I'm still not huge on her finish. But whatever works for her. So yeah, Riott Squad picked up a victory over the top faces on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruby Riott pinned Becky Lynch after hitting her finisher. Next, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn backstage. This was what I thought was the highlight of the whole show.
That's why it's the thumbnail. This is a great segment.
Yeah. So after Zayn helped Owens in the opening match, Owens seemed surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are backstage. Owens says, you know, hey, I want to thank you. And Sami Zayn says, no, I want to thank you. Ever since, you know, I've realigned with you, I've catapulted to where I think I should be. The main event scene, headlining pay-per-views, headlining SmackDowns. And Sami Zayn says, you know, when we take out everybody else at the main event at Fastlane, I'm going to do the right thing.
I'm going to lay down for you
mm-hmm. and let you pin me and win the WWE title. And Kevin Owens looks legitimately overcome with emotion.
And he looks mildly confused as well. He's like, this is too much for me to handle right now. I don't really grasp what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they hug. Sami Zayn gives him a hug. And he just look this look on Kevin Owens like, what am I getting myself into right now?
Yes.
I love this because it's Sami Zayn is going to swerve the living crap out of Kevin Owens.
Yes.
And I think what they're trying to get across with Kevin Owens, in my opinion, is he's kind of understanding that he's kind of created a bit of a monster because Sami Zayn is kind of out Kevin Owensing
Kevin Owens,
the situation and Kevin Owens himself.
Yeah.
And he's like, this guy is totally going to mess with me or is he not? Or can I take him for his word?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I think it's great. I think that, you know, these guys, number one, it helps that they've been friends for like a million trillion years,
like 20 years
and their chemistry when they're doing one of these backstage segments makes it unlike most other backstage segments where they just feel stilted and scripted. This is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually something I'm looking forward to this segment of the Fastlane match with because I think that's what we should be looking after.
Yeah. Do you think it'd be a situation where this comes into play where they clear the ring, they seem to have the upper hand, Sami Zayn lays down, Owens goes on the pin him, and Sami Zayn reverses it into a roll up and almost gets a pinfall win or something like that?
Something like that. And then we have to see Sami Zayn annihilate Kevin Owens somehow.
Yes.
I mean, What your situation sounds like, it's probably the most probable one.
At least for Fastlane, the next SmackDown, that's when the
like a chair shot or something, yeah. You know, like something nasty.
Oh, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be like three haluva kicks.
Right, exactly.
Something
yeah.
akin to what Owens did to Zayn in NXT.
That's what it should be. That's what it needs to be.
A million times.
If they screw that up, then it's hopeless.
Yes.
You know, because this has such a clear path.
This is what they need to harken back to that. Here's another thing they need to reference. When Sami Zayn beat Kevin Owens at Battleground, he hit him with one haluva kick. Kept him from falling in the corner, held him up and said something to him, went back, gave him another haluva kick. He needs to do that at least four times.
Yeah, exactly. And to add to that, I'm just going to say this right now. Like, look at three of the matches that we're going to get at Mania, assuming everybody stays healthy. And by the way, I understand Shinsuke Nakamura, they merely ran a video package from him. He's nowhere to be found. I'm actually kind of okay with that. He's a bit up there in years. And the more rest, as far as I'm concerned for Shinsuke, the better. Like,
yeah.
could he add something week to week to SmackDown right now? Absolutely, he could. Should they have him, like, fighting, you know, jobbers and squashing him? Sure, why not? I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
To keep him on the show. But I'm okay with being deprived of him for a moment until after Fastlane when we get, like, you know...
proper build to his match.
Well,
AJ.
I mean, look, it's face versus face. I mean, I get... This isn't a build that needs all sorts of storyline twists and turns. We know what the match is. Just get to the match at Mania, and they're going to kill it. Do we need a build? Maybe. But
I kind of feel like, you know, I still feel like Nakamura doesn't have a ton of momentum. I felt that way before the Rumble. I still feel that way because he's largely been absent from TV.
Yeah.
And I know that we still have about a month and a half till Mania.
But it's not like it's Baron Corbin. This is Shinsuke. All the history in the world gives him momentum.
But we know his history. Some of the fans who aren't as familiar with his work in New Japan.
Hey, man.
Or even NXT.
Once they get in that ring and they see what they can do, that crowd's going to come alive. It's not going to matter. Anyways, I'm kind of okay. Maybe it's me justifying him not being there, but I don't know.
He doesn't have to wrestle every week, but some presence on the show beyond...
I know, but here's the thing also. Whenever he's had a
He's still wrestling house shows, and he's still wrestling dark matches after SmackDown. He's still wrestling.
Whenever he's had... I know, but whenever he's had... Look, dude, SmackDown's not firing in all their creative...
I understand.
There is the danger... That that we're looking at addition via subtraction here.
Or subtraction via addition. Where by adding him to the show more often, we'll actually...
Subtracting him from the show helps him.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever that is, okay? Because people who are on the show aren't exactly getting, like, the prime material.
Even if it was just him showing up backstage saying to AJ, I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania.
Oh, I know. I kind of like that just as a running that. Thing. I know. I agree
just
with you.
Do that.
I know. I'd be cool with that. Maybe that would just be sort of magnifying the fact that he's not really doing anything else. Maybe that's their line of thought there. I don't know. I honestly
No, I think
know.
Having a video package of old video footage is really magnifying the fact that he's not on the show.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. I'm just saying SmackDown's creative hasn't exactly been stellar lately.
That.
And you run the risk of entering into that, like, really terrible, like, when Jinder was doing that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put him up there and look at his face stuff. Like, that's what we're dealing with in terms of SmackDown's creative.
No, I know, and that was horrible.
So, hold off, just, you know, wait till that match, because you get in danger of giving him negative momentum as opposed to no momentum.
No, I understand that.
Next up, we have the New Day versus Gable and Benjamin.
They just can't give Gable and Benjamin a clean loss, can they? There's always got to be some wonky business, usually with referees. In this case,
yeah,
Kofi was distracting the ref while Gable and Benjamin... were in the process of hitting their finisher. That distraction allowed Xavier Woods to recover, come in, break up the pinfall.
Why is it SmackDown is obsessed with who the legal man is in tag matches?
And usually is in matches involving Gable and Benjamin.
Yeah, I know. Who's the legal man? I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know. I hope Authors of Bane don't show up on SmackDown.
No,
because then it's going to be a mess
I don't
of that.
Think they will because
I still don't know. I still don't know who's Rezar and Akam. Those dudes are from different countries. Why do they look exactly the same?
One of them has a sleeve, a tattoo sleeve, and the other one doesn't.
Oh, man. We got it back into Uso territory. Somebody has a cross on his arm.
Yeah, that's Jay.
Jay. And I just don't want to deal with, who's the legal man? I don't know. I just give this a damn match.
I know.
Yeah, so anyways.
I don't want to feel like I'm trying to do the ref's job while I'm watching the show.
Exactly. It's not my job, ref.
No.
Hey, look, man. If these refs keep on having these problems, bring out two refs. Have two refs do a damn tag match.
Have one ref in the ring and two, and refs in the corners.
Yeah.
So they can just monitor who
exactly.
is the legal person.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy.
Easy. Anyways, New Day picked up the win. Xavier Woods pinned Shelton Benjamin after a Shining Wizard. New Day will face the Usos at Fastlane for the tag titles.
I like, who's the other guy in commentary? Oh, is Byron on commentary here? And he was like, we're going to get to pick up this epic rivalry once again. I'm like, dude, we saw this a lot. And granted, it's going to be a great
fantastic.
Match. No, it's a fantastic match. We've just seen it a million times already.
Yeah.
What's with Gable and Benjamin not getting... Either pull the trigger or don't! What was this one match going to accomplish?
I don't know.
Either get them there or don't, man.
I know.
Like, if it's Fastlane, who cares? If you want New Day Usos, do that at Mania.
Yeah,
that would be a killer match.
Yeah, I know.
Again, look at these matches, though, man. AJ Shinsuke, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. What was the other one I was thinking of?
Well, it could be Charlotte versus Asuka.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be killer.
If you have Usos New Day, that'd be awesome, too.
Yeah, man.
Bob Roode versus Randall Orton versus Jinder Mahal.
On the kickoff, yeah. Or that might be a Fastlane.
I mean, they announced Randall Orton versus Bob Roode at Fastlane, but yeah, that can change. I'm going to be surprised they wait.
And then that cruiserweight, whatever the cruiserweight final is going to be.
Yeah, man.
Like, in terms of actual wrestling, this is going to be like a
There's
huge
potential
card.
For a really good show.
Potential, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
If they get Seth Rollins in there with somebody, who should Seth Rollins fight? Who do you want him to fight?
I guess it'll probably be Kurt Angle.
Hey, for wrestling-wise, that might be a great match.
Yeah.
You know?
Miz, Finn Balor.
Oh, man.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Could be a lot of great matches here.
Yeah. Next, Charlotte had an iPhone promo, and she said she's willing to put up the SmackDown Women's title to get a match against Ruby Riott.
Did this have words on it?
Yeah, it said Flair. No, it just said Flair before.
The New Day got all sorts of weird words.
Yeah, when they were doing their intro. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there were words for Baron
Baron's
Corbin.
Was the worst.
Yeah.
Talk about undercutting a guy who's trying to be like sinister, and then all these goofy fonts come up.
I can't stand it.
It's so goofball, man.
It's so haphazard in his execution. They use it sometimes. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It works okay for a mixed match challenge because there's a more
That's
casual
his thing.
There's a more casual feel about the whole thing, period. And I thought all the Nia Jax Apollo video bits they ran last night, as well as Bob Roode's and Charlotte, were all great.
Oh, I loved them all. I know. Because they're all kind of a little bit on the awkward side. But they're just real.
Yeah.
It's just like them doing their thing, and I love it all. I think it's great.
Next, we had Bludgeon Brothers versus, I only caught one of the names of the two of the, their two opponents. It was Norval Rogers.
That's a great name.
They didn't have him listed on WWE.com.
I do appreciate that the Bludgeon Brothers thing is to just show up before people are gone from the ring.
Oh, I know.
They're all about efficiency, those Bludgeon Brothers.
I know. So they, right as the New Day match ended, they walked out.
You hear their
the
music cuts.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess, are we going to get Bludgeon Brothers versus Usos at Mania? Is that what's going to happen?
Or maybe
there?
New Day versus Usos versus Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, that'd be cool. And then maybe versus Gable Benjamin. I mean, I don't know. It's an 8-hour show, so I guess you can split up some of these matches, but there's a lot of people to put on an 8-hour show.
Exactly.
7-hour
exactly. Bludgeon Brothers, of course, dispatched the enhancement talent pretty quickly. Ooh. There was a great spot where they're destroying them on the outside of the ring. Just move after move and destruction.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Bludgeon Brothers picked up the win with their finisher.
Dun, 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 dun.
Next, Ruby Riott iPhone promo. She says, women's title match at Fastlane. You got it, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
That should be a fun match.
No, that day, yeah, it'll be good. It'll be really good. I liked it. I like her promos. I like Ruby Riott a lot. I think
she's really good.
It's like when you have, like, not, there's not many people that I can think of that are put in that spot where they're given kind of not a lot to do creatively,
mm-hmm.
not the most inspired stuff, but yeah, she still kills it. I mean, she's not going to get the title off Charlotte.
No.
I kind of know that's not going to happen.
Hopefully they'll put on a good match though.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin iPhone promo, a lot of
words
showing up on the screen. So I can't even remember really what he said.
And they're all like just with terrible, like strokes and like,
yeah, it's just bad.
It's just
stop
bad.
Doing it, please.
Just stop it. Be new. Next,
main event.
Yeah. AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin. There was some really cool stuff going on in this match.
Yeah. Both of them are really giving it their all. There was a spot early on where Corbin's kind of on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then AJ kind of gives a phenomenal forearm to him.
Yeah.
Baron kicks out.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, you know, you can call it that. He kicked out of a phenomenal forearm. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
they did go back and replay and say, well, maybe he didn't connect all the way.
Because the angle wasn't what he's used to, that kind of
stuff. Right, yeah. And that's a great, I don't know if that was sort of an on-the-fly thing because AJ was kind of at an awkward angle when he hit it. But if it was, it's a great little bit of TV direction there. The finish was fantastic. So, yeah.
Hold on. Let's talk about this deep six.
Okay.
That deep six was awesome. AJ had a ton of momentum going, running towards Corbin. Corbin carried that, and it looked like they were spinning at least 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know. Both of
a good solid three rotations.
Corbin has two of the coolest looking finishers, two of the most fun looking finishers in the business.
Yeah,
because this and End of Days are both really fun looking finishers.
They are.
Yeah, or moves anyway.
Yes. In the end, though, AJ wins with a phenomenal form.
That was a great bit towards the end, though, when he like flips over the table and like runs back hops in and does the phenomenal forearm.
It was great.
That was fantastic. That was so cool. AJ's the best, dude.
Yeah, he's really
good.
When
he can no-sell being tossed over a table, it's awesome.
I know. So AJ picks up the win with phenomenal form. Owens and Zayn run down the ring. They attack AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Baron comes to, gives both Owens and Zayn End of Days.
End of Days. Yeah. That was really cool, man.
Yeah, the main event was pretty solid.
Oh, you have the trivia cards?
No. Okay. Let's do questions first. All right. Trivia cards.
That's what we usually do. SmackDown recap thread. We're going to answer some questions here from
Liam Wagner.
Hold on, from our $1 patrons. We got to know, how do you want to ask a question, or how can you ask a question here on the show? All you got to do is go to patreon.com/Steven Larson. $1 a month, $1 a month helps support us. You'd be surprised how far a dollar can go when there's like a bunch of people tossing in a dollar. It can go pretty far. And you get your question read on the show.
Yeah, Liam Wagner, power rank allergy medications for Shane to take.
Dude, at this point, he needs like some like a shot, like something more powerful than
he needs like weekly allergy shots.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, what's the regular stuff? Something
like Claritin.
Claritin Clear, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it for him.
No, he needs weekly allergy injections.
It's like poignant what he's got going on. Mm-hmm. This is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Edelbright, I don't see your logic. I'm making a decision. Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
Like, whenever he talks, I'm just like...
Clear your throat. That's what people say about me in the comments. Alex Foster, any wrestlers that are overrated by fans and your guys' opinions?
The best with you is Matt Chat, because you just have to talk for like 5 minutes, and we always do it after lunch.
Yeah.
So you're just burping up his door.
Oh, I do that a lot, yeah. And then usually I eat a lot at lunch, so I get tired.
Listen, Bruno was great, but Jeff Jarrett,
best.
Way better.
Alex Foster says, any wrestlers that are overrated by you guys, by fans in your guys' opinion? Personally, he's not huge on Sasha Banks. I think Sasha's great.
Yeah, I love Sasha. She's great. Who's overrated in fans' opinions, but not our own?
Randall Orton.
Yeah. Not enough people. I think we're like... Not a lot of people like Jinder, but we love him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the opposite of that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like other wrestlers that I'm like.
Here's a good question. Custard Cannon, Jared Ellis.
You love that name.
With WWE capitalizing on AJ and Shinsuke's work in New Japan, power rank 5 matches that took place in other promotions you like to see in WWE.
Ooh.
Kota Ibushi versus Nakamura at Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Ooh.
But they wouldn't be able to go to that level of violence. It's a really violent match.
Yeah.
But it's great. Have you watched it yet?
No, I have not.
Get to it already.
I'll do it, Dad.
It's phenomenal.
Took place in other promotions you'd like to see in WWE. What a great question. Because I'm trying to think of people who were like, who are into, like AJ, who are in WWE.
There's this one. Ricochet versus Leo Rush.
Oh, yeah.
We saw that in PWG, and it was really good.
I think we put that on a list.
Yeah, best matches of the year last year, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't we put on matches we want to see also?
No, I think it was Ricochet versus Aleister Black.
Ooh, yeah. Aleister Black.
Which is another one, because they had a match in another promotion.
Versus the Ice Cream Man.
We can say AJ versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, you know what I like to see?
Hmm.
Brock Lesnar versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
That happened in New Japan.
In New Japan, yes. Yeah. Yes. Good answers all.
No, I don't care about that. Let's see here. Well, I'll do this one. bronze grappling hook. He's got two questions here. One is, do you think Shinsuke could get a manager in the way to elevate him the way Paul Heyman elevated Brock? I kind of don't. I like him. I like Shinsuke as one of two things. Either a solo guy. I don't think his promos are an issue. I like his promos.
Solo face or heel faction leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to see him lead the new Chaos. He also asks, do you guys ever plan on, with the new office, do you guys plan on growing, going in Raw as a brand similar to like What Culture to be able to do more things? Or are you going to stay as a two-man team and keep things between you guys?
Well, I mean, I think we'll keep it the two of us until we can possibly afford to bring in a third.
Yeah, I mean, the office is going to give us some opportunities, hopefully to grow, and then we'll just sort of see after that. But we kind of like to keep things simple.
Yeah, we're so used to our workflow. It's been
It's going to be really weird.
Almost 10 years.
Like, what's probably going to happen with the office is it'll be like, because Hilton literally lives down the street from the office, so we'll just be like, Hilton, come on out and hang out.
Yeah,
and if he can hang out, he'll be in some shows.
Yeah. James Rodriguez, on a scale of one to all, how happy were you to see Bob Roode wearing a suit on TV again?
What's more than all?
Infinite.
All plus two.
Infinite.
Zach Parks, should Sammy actually lay down for Kevin and win Kevin the match? And when they celebrate, Sammy delivers the KO NXT style beatdown? I would say no. No, but I did look not to actually lay down and win, because then it's like, oh, well, he just gave him the title. Mm-hmm. Getting the title off him is not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of Sammy acting like he's going to lay down,
yeah,
like
you swerve,
said. Yes. Swerve him, yeah.
Richard Nason, would you rather have a bowl of Bootios or New Day pancakes fed to you by the New Day? We actually shot a Bootios review. Is the box still up here? No.
It's in the office.
But the audio was awful.
Yeah.
The audio was all messed up, so it never aired. We actually did it. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's really, really sweet.
It's really, really sweet cereal.
So I'll take the pancakes.
We kind of did it like in skit fashion, too.
We did do it in skit fashion, yeah.
That's right.
I'll take the pancakes because I can't handle sweet cereal anymore.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think the question is, would you rather have the bowl of Bootios
poured down into your mouth,
or the pancakes shoved at your face? See, in that case, I'd rather take the Bootios because, A, you can spit them out, and, B, I don't have, you know, Big E's big sweaty palm shoving a pancake at my face.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Which could feel kind of awkward. Yeah, like, when I see him do it, he was dumping a box of pancakes.
Yeah, usually he does that, though. He dumps the pancakes in your mouth, in which case rarely does any of the pancakes actually fall into
your mouth. I know, and look, I want to accomplish this. It's just awkward pancakes flying at my face. That. I'm cool with Bootios at my face. It's a one-time deal. You can spit them out.
I get that. I'm just saying, if it's all things being equal, give me the pancakes.
Okay.
We went to the house show here. I was hoping I would catch a New Day pancake.
Nope.
Unfortunately, they did not.
How long would you have kept that?
I would put it in a bag.
Put it in a bag, right?
Put it in the refrigerator or something.
Yeah, okay.
As long as I could before it started getting moldy.
Yeah.
I think that'd been a swell souvenir.
A new Dude Soup episode's out. I just got alerted.
The cat, Daryl Takahashi, do you think SmackDown using text across the screen in a way to replace Pyro? Maybe for the rock star for Nakamura, yeah.
Very cost-effective way, yes. Yes, I do. excessively saccharine Mark of Steel. Looks like we're finally getting a women's title program. Does this go all the way to Mania, or is Ruby a one-time challenger?
I think she's a one-time challenger.
Agreed. Hey, you know what we need to book for? I keep on meaning to tell you this. For our WrestleMania, that Steven Larson book, we got to book our Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Oh, yeah. Glorious Steve Klein. Hey, friend knows, what are some kayfabe reasons why some wrestlers aren't on TV? For example, Breezango could be on an ongoing investigation on Shinsuke's whereabouts in the last 2 weeks.
I like to think kayfabe Shinsuke's just hanging out with his family.
Uh-huh.
His plush contract gets him some family time.
Yeah.
Because
we don't know, watching SmackDown, that he actually wrestled in a dark match after 205.
Right, exactly, yeah. Dark matches are not... They're not
canon.
Canon,
no.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, I like this. True Bud Ryan, do you think we'll start seeing Jinder do colossus out of nowhere?
Oh, that'd be great.
Kind of difficult. He's so lanky and like...
Well, there's a lot of setup to the move, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You put him in the Cobra clutch first, and mm-hmm. then
you can't
drop
really,
him.
You can't drive by a clause.
No. Glorious broken sound wave. Hey, Steven Larson, you just won the lottery.
Nice.
You just won the lottery.
Nice.
You want to create your own brand of wrestling. You can choose 5 people from SmackDown, 5 people from Raw, 5 from New Japan, 5 from NXT, and 3 from New Japan to create your brand. Thanks, and too sweet.
Okay.
5 from SmackDown. AJ.
AJ.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn.
Well, the New Day is like 3 people.
Yeah, no. Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte and...
Let's just say Asuka's going to SmackDown. Asuka.
Oh, okay. All right.
5 from Raw.
5 from Braun.
Braun.
Seth.
Finn.
Finn.
Sasha.
Sasha. Nia Jax.
All right, that's good. 5 from NXT.
Aleister Black.
Nikki Cross.
Oh, perfect.
Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Leo Rush.
Oh, Adam Cole, baby.
And Adam Cole, baby.
3 from New Japan. It's Omega, Okada, Naito. Right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to get them in there. Wait, from SmackDown, we didn't pull Shinsuke?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Well, kick somebody out. Kick Sami Zayn. Kick Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. One of those guys for Shinsuke.
Okay.
Kick Sami Zayn out.
All right.
Shinsuke. Let's see here.
Broken Steve, given the lack of creativity on SmackDown lately, how do you see the Nakamura AJ feud going once Fastlane concludes?
I don't know. I think it'll be I respect you, you respect me, and then it starts to get a little heated mm-hmm. every week by week, a little
they
more heated.
They start doing a lot of tag matches together.
Yeah.
Things get a little chippy because they're not communicating well, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Discord Club underboss Jimmy Thomas, with the Cruiserweight division looking like it's going to be a standalone thing, would you like to see some SmackDown stars like Xavier Woods or Tyler Breeze on 205 Live?
No, man. I love what they've been doing. They've been pulling from places we don't really get to see a lot of.
Yeah.
The UK division, Mark Andrews, perfect. Buddy Murphy, perfect. Roderick Strong, perfect.
Oh, this is interesting. This is Richard Nason. Did you hear Graves say Gronk spike when Corbin broke up the calf crusher? I didn't notice that.
When Corbin broke up the calf crusher.
He grabbed AJ's head and drove it into the mat.
Oh, he said Gronk spike?
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't hear that.
Interesting.
Hmm.
We're doing a new We Book Raw today on Twitch. So check that out. We got some Gronk info there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Dylan Haggett. Hey, guys, haven't had a question answered in a while, but with Fastlane approaching, has the event been a success or a failure? Does it deserve to stay on WWE's calendar next year based on what you said, success or failure?
Wait, what? Mixed Match Challenge?
Fastlane approaching. Oh. Has the event? Well, Fastlane hasn't happened yet.
Well, I mean, I guess I mean, it's,
I think
it's a newer pay-per-view. The name is, at least.
If I recall correctly, usually they're terrible.
Yeah.
Like our first, it wasn't like our first, the one that we did first on YouTube anyways, it was like we called it Fastlane.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Yeah, it was like a Fastlane review. It was terrible. And I think last year was crap too. So, I don't know.
It really feels like a placeholder show because you know Mania is the next,
exactly.
next event. Not much is going to happen.
There's not going to be a lot of shaking up of the of the status quo.
Austin Luff, the WWE title is vacant and WWE is giving you control of a tournament. Who is in it and who wins? 8-person tournament. Let's book it.
For what title?
WWE title. So it's the SmackDown belt.
Oh, okay.
So let's say AJ gets hurt.
Can we get some NXT call-ups or something?
Sure. AJ gets hurt.
Okay.
He has to vacate the
title. He's out. He's out. So not in the tournament.
Not in the tournament.
Shinsuke, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn, Bob Roode.
Bob Roode.
Jinder. Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby. That's 6. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2 more. Big E.
Ooh, good one.
And Finn Balor.
Finn Balor on SmackDown. There you go. Larson's Black Cat stepfather. Do you think we'll ever see some 6-man tag team titles in WWE?
Highly doubtful.
And if so, who would you choose to be the inaugural champions? It would have to be the New Day.
New
if
Day.
They did that, it would have to be the New Day.
It would have to be the New Day.
Who would the Usos take on as their third man? Let's say they converted all tag teams. Hey, that's a good question. Let's say they converted all tag teams to 6-man tag teams.
Uh-huh.
Who would the Authors of Pain, for example, I would put Samoa Joe with them.
It's a good call.
As a 6-man tag.
Good call.
Who would Breezango add? They would make the Ascension fight for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Connor and Victor would have to fight for it. And then whoever's left could be their manager.
Yes.
It'd be like a five-man faction.
Fantastic idea, Steve.
Thank you. We'd have Sanity, Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Did
you hear there's apparently a new faction starting in NXT with...
yeah, that's weird.
With Gunner.
Gunner.
Impact, and then Steve
Lacey
Cutler.
Lacey Evans, Steve Cutler.
And Wesley Blake.
And Wesley Blake, that's right. What are the power rank names for that faction?
Well, I think I heard Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler were tag teaming already, and they were going by Forgotten Sons.
Oh, that's interesting.
So maybe that's the name.
I love the first picture of them because they're just all randomly dressed. There's no theme there or anything. No. They're just like, hey, we're going to toss them all together and see what happens.
See how this show crowd reacts.
Right, exactly.
Are you ready for trivia?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Here we go.
Starting off with Classic Era.
Classic Era. I'll go first.
Big events.
Probably had all these questions before.
Who defeated Undertaker in WWE's first Boiler Room Brawl at SummerSlam 96?
Mankind.
Very good.
What massive 1995 King of the Ring winner challenged Diesel for the WWE Championship in the main event of SummerSlam 95?
King Mabel.
Yeah.
Championships. Who won his first WWE Championship by defeating Hulk Hogan for the title at Survivor Series 1991?
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Legacy. What superstar did Andre the Giant team with as the Colossal Connection to capture the World Tag Team Championship?
The Colossal Connection?
Yeah.
Ooh, crap. Big John Studd.
Haku.
Oh, wow, good for him. Superstar bio. What WWE manager appeared in several of Cyndi Lauper's music videos?
Captain Lou Albano.
Very good.
What WWE Hall of Famer went by the nickname Mr. Wonderful?
Paul Orndorff.
Yep.
Big events. Who appeared, this is in the modern era.
Modern era.
Big events. Who appeared at the 2008 Hall of Fame ceremony to induct both his father and his grandfather?
2008?
Yes. So, you know, like a third generation.
Yeah, yeah. The Rock.
Yeah, very good.
What Hall of Famer had his first WrestleMania match in more than a decade when he beat Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 26?
Was that Hogan?
Bret Hart.
What? Oh, okay. Oh, hang on.
That's your real answer?
Yeah, Hogan was my real answer.
Okay, no, it was Bret Hart.
His first match, what was it again?
His first match in more than a decade.
Oh, I thought you said first WWE match. That didn't even make sense, though. Okay. Championships. What referee and aspiring WWE superstar cost Ryback his match for the WWE Championship?
That was Brad Maddox.
That was Mad Braddox. Get a beef mode.
Brad Maddox question.
Yeah.
What multi-time WWE champion defeated Chris Jericho at Survivor Series 2009 for his first reign as World Heavyweight Champion?
Rey Mysterio?
John Cena.
Wait, what?
What multi-time WWE champion?
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Superstar bio, what dashing superstar would demand that members of the audience put paper bags on their heads to cover their ugliness?
Cody Rhodes.
That was a great gimmick.
Yeah, man, that was great.
Fantastic.
Man, I swept. Good for me. You have one more question. What WWE superstar that debuted in 2012 considered himself the intellectual savior of the masses?
Damian Sandow.
How many did you get?
I got three.
I got six. I'm the man. All right. Patron, stay tuned. Chat trivia coming up next.
Yeah, that's it for us. Thanks for watching, everybody. Until next time, we'll talk to you. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's get some music.
Music playing? Nice.
All right. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.